It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In John chapter 12, we read of Jesus going to a feast. We read how that in John chapter 12, he had been with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And this was the one whom he had raised from the dead. He had been in their home and he had had supper with them. Well, the next day he went to the feast, the Passover. And as he was coming into Jerusalem, the people took branches of palm trees, according to verse 13, and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." Verse 14 says, "And Jesus, when he had found a young colt, a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, the King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt.'" Well, now I've made mention before, and you've heard other people say this, other preachers, how that the Old Testament, we read of it in the New Testament, and how that I said last time that the Bible is one book. It's all one book. And how that all through the Word of God, we read of Jesus Christ. And this particular verse that I just read, it says, "Fear not, daughter of Zion." And these things were written in the Old Testament. And this is what John is trying to get across to us here in the book of John. Well, we read about something that was taking place here in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. This is prophecy now that was that we've read that has taken place there in John chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." Well, we read about this. This is exactly what took place here in John chapter 12. And it was prophesied of in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. We see this coming to pass right there. And we keep reading and we see how that Jesus was coming into this area. And as he came through, verse 20 says, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast." There were certain people among this crowd. These Greeks would be anyone who was not a Jew. And that's us today who are not Jews. We are, now, I'm not a Greek by nature or by birth, but I am a person who is born into this world. I am a person who is not a Jew, but I am a person who got saved the same way the Jews get saved, and that is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's anyone who is not a Jew that is a Greek, according to the Word of God here. We're reading about Greeks here. There were Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. They came up, and as they came up, they had no doubt heard of Jesus Christ. They probably heard about him raising Lazarus from the dead. In verse 21, the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." They'd already heard about Jesus. Remember, the scribes and Pharisees, they wanted to kill the Lord because his testimony had gone throughout all of this area. Everywhere he went, he did something to cause an uproar. He would raise the dead, heal the sick, whatever was necessary for him to be able to tell people that they needed him as the Savior. Well, these people had heard about Jesus, and they asked Philip, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Verse 22 says, "Philip cometh and telleth Andrew." And again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Well, they told Jesus that these people wanted to see him. In verse 23, "And Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified.'" He's getting ready to be offered on the cross of Calvary. And he knew that it was time. He knew that the cross lay ahead of him, and that's where he would give up the breath of life for this whole world. He would shed his blood that all who would believe on him would have everlasting life. Verse 24, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Now, he's speaking of himself. He's speaking just as a farmer plants a seed in the ground. That seed actually dies, but it gives forth life. The life comes forth out of that seed. And that Jesus, that's what's going to happen to him. He's going to die, and as a result of his death, people will be saved because he's not going to remain in the grave. He's going to come forth as that seed would give birth, would give life. Once again, as that seed sprang forth and brought forth fruit. Verse 25, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." We are not to love this world. We're not to love anything or anyone else other than Jesus Christ for salvation. Now, we can love other human beings. In fact, Jesus teaches us this, that we're to love one another, that we are to help other individuals know him as Savior. Verse 26 goes on to say, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Why would the Father honor a person? Why would the Father honor me or honor you? Well, he first honors us because we trust his Son, Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. We trust him as Savior. And I've said this before, when we honor Jesus, we're actually honoring God the Father. Let me read that verse again, verse 26. "If any man serve me," and that means women as well. This means mankind, anybody. "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, let him. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Verse 27. "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I also. Unto this hour." Well, Jesus knew that his time was short on this earth, in the body that he was in right then. He knew that he would be giving up the breath of life on the cross of Calvary, and that he would lay down his life for people. Now remember, Jesus was human. Jesus was also God. Jesus came into this world, born of a virgin, human being. He came into this world, and he lived a sinless, perfect life. He came to live and to die for mankind, but he was also human. And he would pray later on, as he was saying in this verse to the Father, he would pray, "Let this cup pass from me if it be possible." But he would also add, "Not my will, but thy will be done." He knew he had come for a purpose, but he knew that he was going to suffer death on the cross of Calvary. He was going to suffer as no man had ever suffered before. And no man has ever suffered like our Savior Jesus Christ since the cross of Calvary, since Jesus gave up his life for mankind. Verse 28 says, "Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." I believe that God the Father, as he spoke to Jesus Christ here, he was giving him courage. He was giving him insight. He was helping Jesus to know that the things he was about to go through would not be in vain. But Jesus was being glorified by the Father here. He says, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." "Father, glorify thy name," he said in verse 28. Jesus said, and he said, Father said, "It is being glorified." And what he's saying here, it's being glorified through you, my Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 29 says, "The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him." They could not really understand what God the Father had said to Jesus, but they knew something had taken place. They knew that something supernatural had happened. Some of them said it was thunder, and others said that an angel had spoken to Jesus, but it was actually God the Father the God of heaven had spoken to his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 30, Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes." Many people hear the voice of Jesus today and they don't recognize it. They hear the voice of Jesus and they don't recognize it because the things of this world has blinded them to the things of God. They're not willing to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. They're not willing to hear the voice of God. The Bible tells us that Jesus came for one purpose, and that was to seek and save those who were lost. And if you're lost, if you've never trusted Him as Lord and Savior, you need to open your ears. And you need to realize that Jesus came for you, that He wants you to be in heaven with Him one day, because He died for you. He gave His life for sinful man. You can't go to heaven the way you are. You must trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says we don't measure up as a simple human being. We measure up when we trust Jesus Christ, who is the only begotten Son of God, who is the Savior of the world. That's how we measure up to God's standard. No sin will enter into heaven. And that's the reason we need the blood of Christ to cleanse us from all sin. He not only covers our sin through His blood, by His blood, but His blood takes away the sin. Never again will it be brought to remembrance. We go to heaven because we're sinless in the sight of God, because we are in Jesus Christ. He saved us. Now notice verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Now we go back and we read verse 30, and it says, answered and said, that this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Jesus didn't leave the Word of God simply to have a book written about Him. He's given us the Word of God so that we can believe on Him, so that God can be glorified through what we read in this book, in His Word, and so that when a person gets saved, they're glorifying Jesus Christ through His Word. And verse 32 says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Not just a few, but He's going to draw all men. That means everyone has the same opportunity. Everyone is able to be saved by Jesus Christ if they will simply believe in Him. And don't believe this thing about someone saying, well, God has not chosen you to be saved, or God has only chosen a certain few to be saved. God has chosen everybody to be saved. It's sad that everybody won't be saved because they won't trust Jesus. But don't believe the person who says that God's only going to save a certain person and another person's going to go to hell. God chooses no one to go to hell. A loving God would never force anyone into hell, would never let a person die and leave this world without having an opportunity to trust His Son as Lord and Savior. God gives everyone the same opportunity to trust His Son, Jesus Christ. Notice verse 32 again. "And I," Jesus speaking, "if I be lifted up," He's going to be lifted up on the cross of Calvary, "if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." He is no respecter of person. He is willing to save anyone who will come to Him. If He is lifted up, which He was, he would draw all men. And He's drawing you right now if you've never trusted Him as Savior. He wants you to be saved. Trust Him as your Lord and Savior. And if you are saved, you need to be glorifying Him today. Glorify Him in your life by letting other people know that He is the Savior. Live a life that is pleasing to God, listening to His voice, doing what God wants you to do as a saved person, serving Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.